I'm ready.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What lessons have the Lord taught a man who served for 30 years as an associate pastor before being called as a senior pastor? We're privileged to hear from Alex McDonough to learn wisdom and experience what it means to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we pause, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you, dear friend, that the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you. He knows you so well that no matter what you're going through or what you're facing at this moment, there's always hope in him, in Christ, who loves you so much that he died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross, dear friend, to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Pastor Alex McDonough, is reaching out to you. And it's our prayer that if you have not yet done so, that you would open your heart to the Lord Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord. And if you already know the Lord, well, our prayer is that you would grow, that you would be inspired in our time together, as I pray you will. Pastor Alex McDonough is a senior pastor of Hope International Church, an evangelical free church in Waltham, Massachusetts. He graduated from Harvard University, where he majored in comparative religion. He also played on the Harvard baseball team as a pitcher. He earned his Master of Divinity degree from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. Alex has also preached in Mali, India, and Hawaii. Pastor Alex, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to be with you all, and especially with a Hawaii crowd, because that's my home away from home. It's my favorite state. I don't tell people here in Massachusetts, but it's such a beautiful place. I've been there many times. I've preached there a number of times, so it's really great to be with you today.
Oh, Alex, I want to hear more about that, more about your Hawaii connection. But for now, take us back. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town called Duxbury, Massachusetts, which is right across the bay from Plymouth Rock, where the Pilgrims first settled. And so it's kind of a historic town. It's got a nice beach as well. So that's where I learned to love to swim, and that's part of the reason I love Hawaii. I love to swim. But as I tell people, in Hawaii, the water is blue, and in Massachusetts, your legs are blue because it's so cold. So, yeah, but Duxbury's a nice place. It was a small town, 13,000 when I was growing up. So, but good place to grow up, quiet town.
Yeah, quiet. Who influenced you most, Alex, in your growing up years?
Well, I was really blessed with a great mom and dad, and they're both school teachers. And we didn't grow up in a Christian home. My two younger brothers, my older sister and I, we didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I call it the closest to a Christian upbringing yet without being, you know, Christian in the full sense of it. My parents loved us and disciplined us and encouraged us to excel in things. And so there's no doubt my parents have been a real blessing all my life. And so That would be the chief influence, yeah.
Do you remember things that they said to you when you were young? Any phrases, any habits that they had that you cherish?
Yeah, you know, there's one principle that really stuck with me all my years, and of course, as an assistant pastor for many years, I worked with kids a lot, and one thing that they taught me is the power of positive reinforcement that, you know, most kids want to please, and if you praise kids, you know, if you say good job when they do something well, they give their best effort, most kids are going to want to do well and please you, and it's much more effective than a negative approach. And so, you know, my parents were very affectionate and very positive. At the same time, you know, it wasn't a trophy for everything you did. You know, it wasn't trophies all around, that kind of thing, self-esteem type thing. You know, they expect us to put in the effort. So, but I think that's really true, you know, that just trying to encourage people with, you know, believing in them, you can do it. You know, you've got talent, you've got ability. And when they try, hey, that's a good effort. You know, let's work on it. So they really instilled that in me.
Well, Jamie and I had the privilege of worshiping the Lord at your church in Waltham, and we saw just that, as what you're describing, the way you are with the members of your church is just very warm and endearing. Alex, how did you become a Christian?
Well, I kind of grew up in a nominally Christian household. When I was a little kid, my mom would kind of drag us off to Sunday school, and but my two brothers and I would squirm in the pew during the service. And so when we got old enough, you know, my mom couldn't drag us anymore. Probably when I was 10 or 12, she got tired of dragging us. So after that, we kind of did our semi-annual pilgrimages on Christmas and Easter. So, but one thing that I was thoughtful about religion, though, in terms of I would go to the services, and the church we went to, the denomination, was very ritualistic, kind of high church. And I noticed that people would say the words, kind of the pastor would say something, and they'd repeat something by rote from memory. And it was kind of like just going through the motions, kind of gymnastics of a sort, and mental gymnastics. So that kind of got to me. Later, a verse that came to mind is, you know, and I don't mean to be critical of any one denomination, but these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, it's just a matter of ritual. And the other thing is that growing up in a small town, I kind of knew everybody, and so I knew some of the people who were going through the ritual. They weren't really living it out in their lives. I knew there were a lot of things going on. And that was kind of a turnoff to me, actually, from religion. The only other exposure I had to organized religion was watching the televangelists on TV. And, you know, these were back in the days when they didn't even have remotes, if you can believe that. So you had to turn the channel, you had to actually turn a knob to switch stations. Mm-hmm. So when I was doing that, you know, I would hold my wallet with one hand as I went by the televangelists with the other. So that gave me a very dim view of religion as well. So my view of organized religion was a pretty dim one growing up. And so I was an agnostic. You know, I wasn't sure if God existed or not. You know, maybe he was out there. I hadn't met him, though. And so I kind of determined in my heart that if I ever met God, I would surely worship him. I would surely follow him. But I didn't know him, and I knew that. I wasn't going to pretend that I did, especially if it meant missing the first half of the football game on Sunday. So, but I remember one thing, though. When I was a teenager, I was actually watching some basketball, and the Celtics were big back then here in Boston. And so I was watching them, and I went out to, after the game, I wanted to go out and shoot some baskets. And at the end of my row was a big circle, a cul-de-sac with a basketball hoop down there. And I really, really wanted to shoot some baskets, so I was shooting for a while, and then it started raining, and I was really disappointed, and I just kind of said, gee, I wish I could shoot. And all of a sudden, around the circle was sunshine was beaming through. Almost, you could almost hear the angels, and all the clouds were still raining around it. It was one of those moments where I paused, and I said, I wonder if there's somebody up there listening to me, And it's one of the times I thought, maybe there is a God. But that didn't last, really. But I did kind of have an incipient faith in the sense of, I believe that if I did what was right, if I was a nice person, if I did well in school, if I did well in sports, if I was nice to people, kind of, you know, the second greatest commandment, you know, love your neighbors yourself. If I practiced those things, the universe would reward me. And so I had that belief that I didn't believe that, as it says in Hebrews, you know, that you must believe that God exists and he rewards those who seek him. I wasn't quite there because I didn't know if God existed or not, but I did believe there was a power in the universe that would reward me if I did what was right. And so that's what I sought to do through high school. I sought to excel in school and sports and to be nice to all different types of people, and so I managed to do that. But when I kind of got to the top of the mountain and saw the promised land, you know, I actually got into Harvard, and so all my friends and even the parents of my friends are saying, Alex, you got it made. You know, you can write your own ticket. You know, you're going to Harvard, and so you're going to have great success. But inwardly, though, I was depressed. I was discouraged. I was burnt out. I got to the promised land, and, you know, I said to myself, why do you labor for bread that does not satisfy? You know, I could have written that verse. And actually, soon after becoming a Christian, one of my favorite books was Ecclesiastes, because it kind of spelled out my experience at that point, that, you know, behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. And that was exactly my experience through high school, is that trying to hold on to the pleasures of this life is like trying to hold the wind in your hands. You know, mm-hmm. It passes through your fingertips, and you can't hold on to it. You need something more than that, and I knew it. And so by the time, ironically, you know, here I was as a graduate from high school. I was going to good school. You know, I had good friends and everything, but I was depressed as could be. I was guilt-ridden, and I didn't know why. And so I was really, at the time I should have been happiest, I was at a point of great despair. And praise God that he came after me, because I think I could have really, I wouldn't have committed suicide because I knew that would hurt too many people, but I could have seen myself drifting off into drugs or alcohol to kind of deaden the pain. So, but anyway, I went off to college, and one of my roommates was on the basketball team. And back then, there was a group. It's called Crew now. I'm sure everybody knows Crew, but it was called Campus Crusade for Christ at that time. And it was a college ministry. And my roommate went to a basketball practice, and a guy from Crew or Campus Crusade came and gave a gospel talk. And my roommate came back and said, I became a Christian. And I said, what does that mean? You know, are you going to give away all your possessions and dance in Harvard Square in orange robes? You know, you're going to be join a cult or something? And so that was my dim view of organized religion coming through. And he said, no, you really have to, you know, read the Bible and look at this. And I had never read the Bible before, and he kept pressing me. You know, God really used him in my life to kind of, he was that persistent widow. He kept knocking on my door till I would read the Bible. Praise God. And so he finally got me. He said, you know, Alex, you say you want to know the truth, but you're rejecting the Bible, but you've never read it. So until you read it, you really can't reject it. He said, well, he had me there. So I said, you know, for my intellectual integrity's sake, I have to read the Bible. I started reading the Bible. I was going to read in Genesis all the way through. My roommate said, no, start in Matthew. Read the New Testament first. So that's what I did. I started in Matthew, and I remember I got to the Sermon on the Mount, and I heard the voice of God for the first time. I heard the shepherd's voice, and it was kind of like, where have you been all my life? You know, because everything Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount was just ringing true to my experience. And I started reading the Bible every day, and I started going to the crusade prayer meetings and some of the Bible studies, and one of the staff members was witnessing to me, but I didn't immediately receive Christ. But then,
Alex.
Oh yeah, you got to take a break. Sorry.
No. So I want to just pick up from there.
Yes.
I mean, you're reading the Word. Your heart is beginning to turn. You said you heard the shepherd's voice for the first time. When we come back from our break, let's pick it up from there and take us further. Okay. You're listening to Pastor Alex McDonough. He is the senior pastor of Hope International Church in Waltham, Massachusetts. He's talking about being at Harvard and the Lord working through an organization called CREW today. Back when Alex was in school, it was Campus Crusade for Christ. But it's an experience, an encounter that we're being privy, the privilege of hearing of how God spoke to him through the word and what happened in his heart. More from Pastor Alex McDonough, heart to heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So Alex McDonough was born in Boston to Robert and Dorothy McDonough. They were two school teachers. He had a happy childhood along with his older sister Lisa, two younger brothers, Sean and Hugh. Grew up in Duxbury, Massachusetts, really, which is located across the bay from Plymouth, where the Pilgrims first settled. Before our break, he was sharing with us about, well, his journey to faith in Christ, how he heard the shepherd's voice as he read the Sermon on the Mount as a student at Harvard University. You can find out more about Hope International Church at hopeic.org. Again, hopeic.org. This program you can get as a free podcast. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Share it with a family member or friend. Pastor Alex, take us back. How did the Lord speak to you through the Sermon on the Mount and through the ministry of CREW?
Yeah, Danny, I think, you know, it says in the scriptures, of course, that the one who makes our eye can see. The one who makes our ear can hear, the one who makes our hands can help us, And that's what I really, and the one who made our mouths can speak to us as well. And I heard God's voice for the first time speaking through the scriptures. And I always tell people, if you want to hear God's voice, read the Bible. It's the word of God. It's God breathed, as it says. And that's where I encountered God. That's where everyone can encounter God if they'll read the Bible. And, you know, and when you do, the Holy Spirit will testify to the truth of the word. And that's what happened with me. I immediately thought, you know, this book is from God. And, you know, I had to go through some objections I had, you know, about creation and evolution and things like that. I read some things by C.S. Lewis, you know, overcome some of my doubts and some of the skepticism I had had about the church, you know, in terms of people peddling the word of God for profit, as it says elsewhere in the scriptures. And but one thing, another thing that really impressed me is I went to the prayer meetings and, I went to the prayer meetings and I was impressed by the people there that they really cared about me. There was a qualitative difference about how they treated, the way they treated me and the way other people treated me. I could tell there was a real love and concern, how they prayed for each other, how they looked out for each other. And so that testimony of the body of Christ is very powerful as well. But the way I actually, I didn't immediately become a Christian, but after a few months, it's kind of ironic. God kind of had to send his sheepdog after me to drive me back, to drive me into the fold, basically. There was a woman I was interested in, a young woman there at college, and we kind of had this on-again, off-again thing. It was driving me crazy, basically. And so one night I was lying in bed, and I was thinking about this relationship, and I just had no peace. I was racked with guilt, and this thing was driving me crazy. And finally I said to God, probably the weakest sinner prayer ever prayed, but I said, God, I don't know if you're out there or not, like these people are saying, but if you do, I want you in my life. Come into my life and help me, because I know I need help. And that was it. And immediately I fell asleep. I just perfect peace, and I went to sleep. And the next morning I woke up, and nothing had changed, but everything had changed. You know, the night before I didn't know God, and I woke up the next morning and I knew that I did. And I don't know if people have seen the movie Field of Dreams, you know, where, you know, there's this field where, you know, some people can see the ghosts of baseball players playing, and some can't. And the owner of the field, he can see them. And the brother-in-law, he can't see them until some tragic event happens. Then his eyes are opened, and he can see what everybody else is talking, this invisible kingdom everybody else is talking about, so to speak. And that's what happened to me. Whereas before I didn't know God and I knew it, now I knew God and I did know it. And I decided at that moment I was going to follow him no matter what, and that's what I've been trying to do ever since. And so I kept going to the Bible study and going to church and that kind of thing, reading the Bible. So,
Alex, I read somewhere, I read that you were called to ministry. Something you wrote. You were called to ministry the same time as your conversion.
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you talk about that?
Sure.
Say more.
Yeah, when I went into college, I had no idea what I was going to major in, and here's why. The things I was good at, I didn't enjoy, and I didn't want to do. And the things I was interested in, I wasn't good at. So I felt like a round peg and with a lot of square holes, or whatever that expression is. I didn't fit in anywhere, it seemed. But when I became a Christian, all the things I seemed to be good at matched ministry calling. And I began to see that immediately. I began to see, oh, I can use my gifts here and here and here. These are the things I'm good at, and they match ministry. And so originally I envisioned going into on to staff with the campus ministry with crew, but for a number of reasons that didn't work out. And I started attending this church immediately after college, Hope International Church here in Waltham, Massachusetts. And actually I was praying. I said, Lord, lead me to a group of people who are doing your will, because that's what I want right now. And so I went there, and it seemed like people were really living for God, and so I stayed, and I eventually went to seminary at Gordon-Conwell here in Massachusetts and got a good education there. And at that point, I thought, pastoring seems like a good calling for me, especially with two school teachers. I think one of my gifts is teaching and preaching. And so, I kind of grew up with some of those gifts installed. Also, languages. My father was a language, he was a reading teacher, but also a language guy. And so we grew up reading from a very young age. We had books all over the house. We knew language. I had studied Latin and French. And so a lot of skills I had acquired fit in very well with ministry. And so my calling to ministry came at the same time as my conversion. You know, as soon as I decided I'm going to follow Christ, I knew I was going to do that as my profession or my full-time work.
What lessons? So you started in what, 1988 at Hope International. Yeah. So what lessons have you learned, Alex, from the Lord, serving as associate pastor for 30 years?
Well, I always tell people the Christian life, in one sense, is very easy. It's very simple to understand. It's very difficult to put into practice sometimes. But, I think a hymn that captures it well is trust and obey. I think that's a great summary of the Christian life. First of all, you have to trust Christ for your salvation. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He took your place. He suffered on the cross not for his sins, because he was sinless. He never sinned. He suffered for my sins, for your sins, the sins of the whole world. And so he paid for our sins. So trust him. Trust that full forgiveness. Receive that full forgiveness so that you can experience what I did and come to know him and have that eternal life, even today. So that was the first thing, trust. But then obey. If you believe that who he is and what he says, well, live accordingly. And to trust and obey him in season and out of season, knowing that, as the saying goes, everything as a Christian, everything that comes into your life first has to pass through the hands of a loving Father. And so everything that comes into our lives as believers, Romans 8:28, of course, for God works all things together for good for those who love him, have been called according to his purposes. And so, sometimes we'll have troubles in life and we'll say, Lord, take this away. And he does, and that's great. Other times he'll leave them there. And we don't feel it, but that's great too, because he's making us more like Christ through those difficulties. He's using that for our good as well. And, sometimes we've been reading Job in our church. We have a Read Through the Bible program. We've been reading Job. And sometimes people suffer not because God's punishing them, but because they're doing what's right. And, it's because they're good that God is allowing them to suffer. And so, trust him in season, out of season. Trust him when it looks good and when it looks bad, because in the long run, he'll bring you to a place of blessing if you do that.
I think
trust and obey is one very important point.
You're listening to Pastor Alex McDonough. He's a senior pastor at Hope International Church in Waltham, Massachusetts, an evangelical free church. You can find out more about Hope International at hopeic.org. Pastor Alex was the associate pastor at Hope International for 30 years, serving, trusting, and obeying. Trusting and obeying. Oh, that's a great word for us today. What an application that hymn is for us today. And then the Lord called him to be senior pastor. I'm interested in what the Spirit has done in his heart over the years, that and other pointed questions that I look forward to asking him. And glad that you're with us in this conversation, dear friend. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Pastor Alex McDonough, he enjoyed sports growing up. He played baseball, basketball, soccer in high school. After graduating from Duxbury High, he attended Harvard, where he majored in comparative religion. He became a Christian his first year in college through Campus Crusade for Christ. And his call to ministry came right at the time of his conversion. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Maybe you're tuning in right now, caught the tail end of the last segment. Pastor Alex McDonough is a senior pastor of Hope International Church. You can find out more about Hope International Church at hopeic.org. This program, it's a free podcast for you. Just go ahead and get that. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and share it with a family member or friend. Pastor Alex, how would you describe what the Holy Spirit has done in your heart over the years?
We were talking in church on Sunday about this in one of our groups that, salvation or forgiveness is, God works the salvation himself. It's kind of unilateral that, Christ died to pay for our sins and we can add nothing to that. He paid for our salvation. That's the foundation we base our lives on. But then building upon our lives upon that is a cooperative effort with the Holy Spirit. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know that old joke, even God can't steer a parked car, right? And so, we need to do our part in terms of prayer, studying the Word, being in fellowship, being in church, worshiping, getting a change of perspective every Sunday, where we get a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of perspective, because we're in church regularly, and serving the Lord with our gifts so he can empower us. We can feel the power of his Spirit working through us. And I think that's how the Holy Spirit has transformed me personally over the years, that as I have walked with God, it's sort of like, if you have kids, you look at your son or daughter and you say, gee, my kid suddenly grew. I didn't even notice. And I think the spiritual life is kind of like that. You'll be doing all these things, and all of a sudden you say, gee, I feel like I've gone to another level. I've matured more. I understand more. I read Bible verses I didn't understand before. Now I understand them. And so kind of like that the leaven that kind of leavens through the loaf in a good sense, that spreads, the Spirit works in us. I think, isn't it true that physically we grow most when we're sleeping, I believe? And in the same way, I think the spirit kind of causes growth when we're not aware of it. But if we're faithfully going through our daily activities for Him, for the Lord, He'll cause, it's God who causes the growth. But we can water, we can weed, we can do all the things that we can do. So that's how the Spirit's worked in my life, I think.
When did the Lord call you to serve as senior pastor?
Well, let's see, that was coming up on 3 years ago in 2018. And our former pastor, unfortunately, he had to retire. He had a rare disease. And so he had to retire, and he's doing okay. He's still dealing with it. It's called FARS, F-A-H-R-S, I believe. So he was a great guy. Paul Reed is his name. Great pastor, great guy. And we really kind of, he taught me a lot, but then we kind of co-pastored for a lot of years. And so, it was sad to have to go, but it was a natural transition because we had kind of co-passed. We kind of did the same things, but in different percentages. So I would only preach once or twice a month at the most, and I would lead worship, but we trade off things, and so it was a real great partnership in ministry with Paul. But unfortunately, he had to retire, and so. I was kind of the inside candidate, I guess, for the job, and it worked out well. So here I am.
Alex, describe some of your memories serving the people of Mali, West Africa, and India.
Yeah, let's see. Well, Mali was a brief trip. It was about 2 weeks, and we literally built the church. With large bricks, we built a church with cement and bricks, and I preached once or twice there. So there was a bit of a language barrier there because, other than their local languages, their primary language is French. So we were somewhat limited in what we could do. So it was a good. This was back in the 80s. I was a pretty young guy. It was good to get out and see the rest of the world, kind of the poverty there, some of the struggles with Islam that were there, some of the threats that were there. So that was a good experience to go overseas and see how other people live their faith. And also just exuberant worship that they had there, which was very encouraging. They had drums and I was blessed. And it's great to go overseas in India and in Mali, you don't understand what people are singing, yet you're blessed, because you can feel God's spirit moving in it, and so it's very encouraging to see God working in the nations. In India, the reason I got involved there and our church got involved there is that there was a doctor and his family from India who had moved to Waltham here in the Boston area, and they were attending our church. And his father had planted numerous churches in southern India in a village area called Kamam, not too far from Hyderabad. And so what we would do is the village pastors, about 40 or 50 of them, would come into the central campus area. And we would train the pastors, so we would teach them, they didn't have access to seminary education, so we would go in and teach them various things that were helpful for them. But again, very encouraging to see these men living by faith, literally living hand to mouth, not knowing perhaps where their next meal or their family's next meal would come from, and yet living faithfully for the Lord and evangelizing kind of the outer areas where the populations weren't as dense, the village areas. So very devoted servants of God, very appreciative that we had come to help them in that way. And so, when Paul speaks in his epistles about, you know, mutually edifying, mutually encouraging one another, that's really the case. I was as blessed as I was blessing if I was then to be there in both situations. So it was very enriching.
You've been enriched and you've enriched them in the Lord. Alex, what has brought you to Hawaii so many times?
Well, my original connection, one of my brother's roommates, a guy named Kenny Lee, he's a doctor out there. He was one of my brother's roommates in college. My brother also went to Harvard 2 years behind me. And so we went out to see Kenny back in 1986. He kindly invited us out there. And I would sometimes go out there and spend time with his family. And then my brother, Sean, he met an MIT graduate student, Ariana, who's coming to the church here in Waltham, Ariana Ewan, who's from Pearl City. And eventually they married, and so I had that connection as well. And then there were other folks here at the church with Hawaii connections, and so I began heading out there, every other year or so for quite a while. Unfortunately, at my age, I'm pushing 60. I'll be 60 a couple of years. Those long plane flights, I can't take them. I'm tall, too, as you know, so I don't fit in those plane seats like I used to.
You sure are. Yeah. What do you appreciate most about Hawaii?
Oh, there are so many things to appreciate. The beauty of the place, of course, is the two most beautiful places. I've been to about 20 countries. The two most beautiful places I've been, very different. One was Hawaii, and the other one was Ireland, which really is the Emerald Isle, just beautiful green. So those two. But Hawaii, you know, I love warm weather. I love to swim, as I mentioned. And so that's a big... I like the aloha spirit, too. People are so friendly and, very welcoming. People tend to be very kind out there, so that's very nice as well. And I've enjoyed my time in the churches out there, too, preaching occasionally and just going to church there and having fellowship with people. And so, and I also like
the
food.
Oh, the food. Okay, tell us about food.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I like for lunch often, I would go to the beach. I'd bring, spam musabi? Did I say it correctly?
You're very close. That's good. That's good, Alex.
Okay, yeah. So, get those, and I like a lot of the Asian foods. Korean food I like, and Vietnamese food I like, Thai foods. So
what are some of the churches that you visited when you were?
Well, let's see. One was Christ United Methodist. I'm trying to think of what road that's. I can't remember what road it's. I haven't been there for quite a while. I believe it was another one was Pearl Community Church, if I have the name right. Again, it's been a long time. And there was an Evangelical Free Church there as well I visited. I didn't get the name of that. And there was also a, what's Chuck Smith's group there?
Calvary Chapel.
Calvary Chapel, yeah. I went to Calvary Chapel a couple times, so that was nice as well.
Well, you start talking about food in Hawaii. you talk about food and then you touch the heart at the same time, and you've done that. And then just when you mention these places, it's so familiar and so endearing. Alex, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the COVID-19 pandemic and how, when we come back from our break, how the Lord has guided you through this time and, you know, difficult times, maybe difficult times that you've gone through or as it relates to a listener today who may be struggling.
Sure.
And maybe we could have a time of prayer. I'd love to have you pray for our dear listeners. Alex McDonough, he's the senior pastor at Hope International Church. Yes, he's traveled, he said, 20 countries. He's preached in Mali, West Africa. He's preached in India. He's even ministered in Hawaii. But he's here with us today, sharing heart to heart. his experience coming to Christ at Harvard, experiencing his call to ministry at the same time. More from Pastor Alex McDonough when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, his name is Alex McDonough. Alex grew up in Boston, born in Duxbury, Massachusetts, right near Plymouth Rock, graduated from Harvard, went to Gordon Conwell, got his MDiv, served for 30 years as an associate pastor, and recently became the senior pastor of Hope International Church. It's an evangelical free church in Waltham, Massachusetts. HopeIC.org. That's how you can find out more about the ministry there. Alex, how has the Lord led you to lead your church during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, Danny, like all other pastors, first of all, I kind of reinvent the wheel, or at least for me, being an older guy, you know, technology doesn't come easily or naturally. So learning to do everything online was challenging, as it's been for not only pastors, but a lot of folks in these current times. One thing I've noticed, though, is that God's strength, I've noticed people praying for me, making a difference, that God's strength, he's given me the strength. You know, apart from him, we can do nothing, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And as we pray for each other, as we uphold each other that way, we can find God's strength for us, even in these times. And one, our church has prayer groups, and so that's been very helpful. One illustration I use with people a lot is in Jerusalem, they discovered Hezekiah's tunnel, a tunnel that would bring water beneath the city walls into the city, especially helpful, of course, in times of siege. And so you could be surrounded by enemies, but you could have relative peace and life and calm because you had this tunnel. bringing this hidden river of water, river of life into you. And I think that's true of us as believers in the Holy Spirit, that we can be surrounded by enemies, like Hezekiah, surrounded by enemies, but we can have this hidden source of life beneath, within, flowing into our lives through the Holy Spirit if we're prayerful, if we're praying for one another, if we're praying ourselves. So that's one thing I've stressed with people. One other thing I share with people is that for many years, I told them, our culture has been kind of like floating down a nice, peaceful, lazy river in a good raft with a good paddle, you know, kind of a peaceful, quiet life. We can kind of direct our life in the course we want it to go. But in recent years, we've kind of hit some whitewater rapids where political unrest, COVID, so many difficulties that life can feel out of control. Again, like we're on those whitewater rapids and we've lost control, our ability to control things. And sometimes it feels like when you're in the whitewater rapids, all you can do is pray and hold on to that raft for dear life. And actually, I told our folks that that's not, you know, bad advice. Hold on to Jesus for like that life raft for dear life by trusting him, by obeying him, and pray, you know, pray to him. And one other thing I stress with them is that we can't control what will happen around the next bend of the river. You know, we can't control what twists and turns are. We can't even know what twists and turns might be ahead. We can only control what's in front of us. And Jesus said, of course, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, every day has enough trouble of its own. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Worry about the trouble in front of you today. And, of course, Paul tells us that you know, we were each given a certain amount of good works to walk in each day. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every day, God has given us a set number of good deeds that we can walk in for that day. And that's really all we have to do. You know, pray to God. I pray to God every morning, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk in those good works that you prepared for me to walk in that day. And if you're doing that every day, heading in the right direction every day, you're going to come to a good place sooner or later. You're going to experience God's blessing, and you're going to come to a good place because day by day you're doing God's will. And so I try to stress that with people, you know, one day at a time, as they say, and walk in obedience. Do those good works he's done for you, he's given you to do today, and you'll be blessed. There's some things we can do to prepare for tomorrow, like the ant in Proverbs. We can store away something for tomorrow, but we're limited somewhat. And so don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Just worry about what you can do today. So those are a couple of things I've shared with people.
Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. I like that, Alex. Alex, would you lead in a prayer? Pray for our dear listener who may be encouraged by the things that you've just said. Could sure use someone praying for them, as you have talked about strength as people pray for you. Would you do that, dear brother?
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that, sure.
Please.
Lord, we do thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your love. Thank you, Lord, that the major problem of our life, the problems of sin and death, you have taken care of freely by your grace. Lord, you died on the cross to pay for our sins. You endured that punishment so that we would not have to, so we could be forgiven and have eternal life freely as a gift. And so, Lord, if anyone listening has not received that, I pray, Lord, just as I did so many years ago in my college dorm, opening my heart, Lord, if you're out there, come in, forgive me. Lord, may that person out there who's listening do the same and come to know that the one who made our eyes sees us and the one who made our ears hear us, the one who made our hands can help us. And, Lord, for those who know you already, I pray, Lord, that you would comfort them. Lord, help them to get good support around them with other believers, to get in a good church. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would bring good out of evil and light out of darkness, life out of death, joy out of sorrow for them as they continue to trust you and obey you and walk in your ways. Lord, I pray that you would give them hope and strength in the meantime. Like Hezekiah's tunnel, Lord, that spirit would flow into their lives. And, Lord, when we are weak, then we are strong. And I pray, Lord, you'd show them that you are on their side and that even this, Lord, you will use for good in their lives as they continue to trust you and obey you and walk in your path. And, Lord, we pray for our nation and all the nations that there would be peaceful, quiet lives, as you tell us to pray in 1 Timothy. Lord, may there be peace and quiet because our leaders are doing the right things and we're doing the right things. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alex, if someone today, as you prayed, they said a prayer like you, when you were there, right there at Harvard Yard, laying in your bed, saying a prayer, what would you say to them if they, like you, opened their heart to Christ?
Well, I would say, first of all, start reading your Bible, because, as I said, you'll encounter God there. It is the Word of God, and you will hear the shepherd's voice there. Begin talking to God. Prayer is just talking to God. You need help, ask Him for help. If He does something good for you, say thank you. If you have trouble, and remember to say, God, use this for good, and thank you that you will. So pray. Begin that conversation with God every day. Get in a good church where, you know, for me, it was that crew group, and having their support and their help and their prayers. And even now, as I said, through the COVID situation, the prayers of other believers around me has sustained me. So get in a good Christian church, a good Christian fellowship. I'd encourage them to contact you, Danny, and I'm sure you have a good list of churches out there that you can put them in contact with.
That's right.
And so that's very important.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, contact me, Danny@thegoodlifehawaii.com, and I can pass on the word. I'm friends close to many of the pastors in the islands. Alex, thank you so much for sharing out of your heart, out of your life, with such grace and eloquence, and the way you tell the stories and weave the Word of God. It's just marvelous, and what a privilege to have you. And I'm honored to have you as a friend as well. So thank you so much.
Well, same to you, Danny. It's I consider it a privilege to be on, and I enjoy our friendship as well. So thank you also.
Fitting words from Alex McDonough, hopeic.org. Dear friend, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, like Pastor Alex has said, you know, maybe this is the moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video we did for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, to contribute with financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. 2 Chronicles 15:7, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Alex McDonough, hopeic.org. Until next time, along with my guest coordinator, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.